But I want you to know this prayer can stand alone. This prayer is a powerful prayer. And I want us to look at it this day, and I want us to look at it in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is in the Sermon on the Mount. It's three chapters long. And in the middle of this, in chapter 6, he's beginning to teach some principles. One of the principles he teaches is about giving. And he talks about giving. And then he moves into this prayer life. He says, this is how you should pray. And we're going to read through that. And then he talks about fasting and then other principles for our lives, which are all wonderful. But this morning, I want to look at this issue about prayer. In fact, we're entering into what we're calling a week of prayer because I don't want to limit it to a week of prayer. I just want this to be a week that maybe we launch it like we never have before. We as a church need to pray corporately, but you need to learn individually. I love coming together and I love hearing other people pray and agreeing with them. But then if I go home and don't know how to do it myself, then I become lost and wondering, what effect is this? Let me read to you out of Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. I'll be reading out of the King James Version this morning. It says this in verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, this morning, your word is more than typed print on pages. Your word is living and active. Your teaching is purposeful for us today. So, Lord, help us to catch what it is you're trying to teach. And, Lord, may you receive the glory in everything we do and say today. Amen. It amazes me how so natural it really is for people to pray, especially when they're in trouble. Jesus, I need you. Oh, God. Have you ever heard it? I even hear people, when they're angry, speak the name of Jesus. It's amazing that there is something about that, either in cursing or in prayer of blessing, that his name is invoked upon. In this, we're taught to pray to him. For believers, for those of us who have put our trust in God as our Savior and asked him to forgive us, we began our relationship through prayer. That's how we began. Father, forgive me. Father, come and be a part of my life. We asked him. So although the need to pray may seem natural for people in the world, and even more natural maybe for believers now, our human weaknesses still calls out, Jesus, teach me how to pray. I don't know how many times you've gone to prayer and you feel the inadequacy of prayer. You wonder, is it effective? Am I really saying something that's meaningful? When we pray, we have the opportunity, I want you to know, to talk to God himself. Church, I love where we're at in our understanding, because it is not through me that you go to the Father. It is by grace that you approach His throne all by yourself because of His wonderful mercy. And we get to go to Him. Prayer is simply communing with God. He wants you to know Him. Last week we remembered Him in His death, but He also wants us to pray to Him. Not just remember Him by elements, but remember Him in voice. As we grow in prayer, we discover that prayer is more than simply asking God for things. Listen, it's not a selfish means to an end. It's not that I go to God to get what I want for my end result. Prayer is not an attempt to force the hand of God or to twist His arm, but it is in reality a submission unto Him. You need to understand that God's answers are wiser than your prayers. I don't know what your prayers have been, but His answers have always been wiser. You need to get to know Him. He has invited you to get to know Him. You need to know that prayer is not to, or prayer, let me put it this way, prayer really is to impress us with God, not for us to impress God with our words or our thoughts. If we were to never gain anything through prayer, you need to understand this. Just the opportunity to commune with God would be enough. I mean, do you realize you have been given the opportunity to go to the Creator of all life, the Creator of the world, and get to speak to Him? What greater privilege is there than that? Oh, we would love to go and see a king and get to have an audience with the president or this. You get to go to God Almighty. What a privilege. Unfortunately for many people, the Lord's Prayer, though, has become simply a prayer to recite. I remember when I was in high school, I was in the marching band, and every time before we went on the field, we would all, somehow we had instruments, we couldn't link hands, but we'd get in a big huddle, and our band director would begin the Lord's Prayer. We would all recite it. I always wondered, because as a believer, as a young boy, I looked around at all these people praying, and it was the only time they prayed. I knew their lives. And all of a sudden, I'm like, but fortunately, I knew what it meant. But so many times, it's just become for recitation. As we discover prayer and what it really is, we'll find, especially in this model prayer, that we will have a life-changing experience if we learn how to pray. You need to understand there is no magic in prayer. A mechanical recitation is empty, it's meaningless without understanding prayer. In Matthew 6, verse 7, Jesus tells us and discourages us from being repetitive in our prayers. He says, "When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words." It's not just rattling off stuff. But as we truly lift our voice in prayer, we do it with understanding. I believe our lives will be altered. Our lives will be changed. So many times in prayer, we want everything else to change, when really prayer is about us and our relationship. I think there's some people who probably think prayer is like a parachute. I'm glad it's there, but I hope I'll never really ever have to use it. Prayer is powerful. It's where we rely upon God. Prayer becomes the steering wheel for us and where we're going, and not our spare tire. It's somewhere in the vehicle hoping I can find it if I need it. Prayer is not like that. Prayer is what guides us and gets us in the direction we need to be going. Prayer may not change every situation around you, but I believe if you will pray, it will change you. The Lord's Prayer that we're going to look at this morning is a God-centered prayer, not me-centered. It highlights the supremacy of God. In it, we notice that Jesus, though, doesn't discuss the posture of prayer. Did you know you can pray kneeling, you can pray sitting, you can pray standing, you can pray with your face down upon the ground? It doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't dictate the place of prayer. We can pray anywhere we find ourselves. The whole world becomes the cathedral of God when His presence is with us there. Jesus does not discuss the manner of prayer. It isn't getting a serious look on your face and adopting a certain tone of voice that says, "Our Father, oh God." But those have been powerful moments, haven't they? We seem to change our voice. And if I get it deep enough, then it becomes powerful. Jesus doesn't specify a time of prayer. Some people organize their lives in such a way that they have specific times of prayer. And that's wonderful. But prayer is fitting any time under any circumstance. Did you know it's okay to pray while you're driving? In fact, it may be absolutely necessary to pray while you're driving. It's even more absolute when your daughter is driving. But pray with your eyes open, would you please? It's a good idea on our interstates out here, and especially when it's snowing. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. What if we did that? When we live in a God-conscious state, we begin to recognize the presence of God around us, and it opens up the channel of communication with Him. As soon as you begin to go, "God, where two or three are gathered, you are here, you're here, you're here," that begins the communication. But it doesn't take two or three. In fact, it's just you and Him. What did Jesus teach us? If you'll go into the secret place, close the door, you can talk to Him. It's powerful. In Matthew 6:9, Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray." Here's where Jesus introduces prayer, not by saying, "Pray this," but "Pray like this." He doesn't say, "Here's what to pray." He says, "Here's how to pray. This then is how you should pray." So the Lord's Prayer becomes a blueprint for prayer, a model prayer, and not a rigid formula. In this model prayer is unfolded really the entire message of the Word of God and a summary of our relationship to Him. Prayer, or praying this model prayer, though, will place some demands on your life. Praying this prayer is risky. You say, "Well, why is it risky? Why would it be so?" Well, let me walk through the prayer briefly where it says, "Our Father," "our." I cannot pray "our" if I'm only living for myself. "Our Father," it says. I cannot say "Father" unless I'm attempting to act like His child. I cannot pray "who art in heaven" if I'm not laying up treasures there or even believe in a heaven. I cannot say "hallowed be thy name" if I'm not striving for holiness myself and understanding what it is. I cannot say "thy kingdom come" if I'm not doing my part to prepare for that day. I cannot say "thy will be done" if I'm disobedient to His word. I cannot say "in earth as in heaven" if I'm unwilling to serve Him here and now. I cannot say "give us this day our daily bread" if I'm not relying on Him as my only provider. I cannot say "forgive us our debts" if I'm harboring a grudge against somebody. I cannot say "lead us not into temptation" if I'm deliberately placing myself in the line of temptation. I cannot say "deliver us from evil" if I haven't put on the whole armor of God. I cannot say thine is the kingdom if I'm not loyal to the king and have become his subject. I cannot attribute to him the power if I'm fearing what man may say or do to me. I cannot ascribe to him the glory if I'm seeking honor for myself. And I sure can't say forever if my life is bound completely by time. The question for us is, what do we really rely on? Education is wonderful, but if you rely upon education, you'll get what education can give you. Skill is good if you rely upon skill, but you only get what skill can do for you. If you rely upon technology, you'll only get what technology can do for you. If you rely upon an organization, you'll only get what an organization can do for you. But if you rely on prayer, you get what God can do for you. Those devoted to prayer do things by prayer and begin with prayer. You don't add prayer on as an add-on later on with an afterthought of God, my decision's made, Lord, would you bless it? But we begin with prayer. When faced with a challenge, the first thing we ought to do in life is go into prayer. Those devoted to prayer give priority to prayer. In fact, the level of your Christian commitment can be connected to the character of your prayer life. If we are followers of Christ and we want to learn how to pray, I want you to know he stands ready to teach us. Jesus prayed earnestly himself. He prayed purposefully. He prayed with certainty. Why? Because he knew that God answers prayer. The model prayer that was given to us while, as I said earlier, during the Sermon on the Mount. It was to provide an example for how we should approach the throne of grace. And prayer becomes three things then to us. A prelude to peace. How many need peace? A prologue to power. How many need power in your life? And a preface to purpose. Don't you need purpose? And this is what prayer. So I've taken this particular prayer and I've broken it down into six parts today. There's multiple ways to do it, but I wanted to break it down into something I think we can make practical and applicable to our lives. The first part being Matthew 6, 9, where he begins the prayer by saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our focus in prayer, you need to understand, is on the Father who is in heaven. It is an intimate time of developing our relationship with a loving heavenly Father. In prayer, we begin to acknowledge that he is creator, he is sustainer, he is guide, he is protector, he is provider, he is all authority over my life. Our Heavenly Father, you need to understand, because of his heavenly position, is not limited by earthly restraints. We are communicating directly with the everlasting Father who controls all things. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. His name is above every name in heaven and on earth. We worship him and with thanksgiving, and we come into his courts with praise. We too are to exalt him for all of his attributes, not forgetting one aspect of his love and not forgetting one of his benefits. The prayer goes on to point two, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. This is us asking for his kingdom to come in all of its spiritual qualities of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. We are asking God, would you extend your kingdom in quantity by bringing Christ's salvation to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every living soul. Let your kingdom come. His kingdom will break down all the barriers that want to prohibit God's work or his will from being performed. His kingdom helps us to put our priorities proper. That we are participating as workers in a spiritual harvest. We're not just merely maintaining our lives until we get to heaven. I want his kingdom to come, His will to be done. He goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread as a third point. Did you know we must trust God for our physical as well as our spiritual provisions in our daily prayers? We must look to God alone for our supply and blessings and then remain content with what you have. To those who fear God, there really is no want. Psalm 23, David writes that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So we can trust Him for our provision. In the fourth part of this prayer, He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. All of us in this place needed forgiveness and still probably need it. I think it's interesting that Jesus, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but I want you to know the Lord never sinned. So this prayer, when He says, Father, forgive me, is not His prayer, it's our prayer. It's teaching us, because of where we walk, that we're going to need forgiveness. But we also are called to forgive others. Holding grudges against others will sap you of your creative energies to love and to lift up others, to encourage others, and to serve others. By asking God for forgiveness, we become willing to admit our own sins and our own weaknesses. Of course, that doesn't sound like people. How many people you know defend their positions? We fight, it seems, in this natural, God, I don't want that. I'm weak. Refusing to forgive others, it will hinder your relationship with God. If you cannot walk with a forgiving heart, you need to understand our debt to God is far greater than what we could ever repay to Him. Our only hope is found in God's forgiveness that comes through the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on a cross for the sins of the entire world. That's how we're forgiven. Our prayer, if I could put it in everyday vernacular, it would be simply this: God, help me give what has been given to me. I've been forgiven. Why would I be prejudiced against anybody else receiving that? A fifth part of this prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Each of us has the tendency in our flesh to continue to sin. Without God's help, we would self-destruct through the passions and desires of this sinful nature. We must watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. Jesus taught us this a little bit later. Matthew records it in 26:41. Watch and pray, He says, that ye enter not into temptation. Read it with me. The Spirit is, but the... Is Jesus know what He's talking about or what? Lord, I'm going to spend a lot of time with You in prayer today. Boy, I'm hungry. Lord, I tell you what, I'm going to go eat, and then I'll be back. And by the time that happens, every other distraction comes into place. Our flesh is weak. Our spirit says, yes, I want to. This morning, our applause to heaven, all of this great worship, we want to. But what do we do with it when we leave this place? What happens to our lives? Is it only an hour and a half that I love You, Jesus? I think You're the greatest thing in my life. I want You to be a part of every part of my life for 90 minutes. How are we living? What are we choosing? Our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the darkness. And without God's intervention in our life, we will fall prey to the enemy's schemes and traps that he puts out there for us. We need to look to God for our protection from indiscreet words, gossip, backbiting, anger, jealousy, discontent, rage, revenge, lust, envy, lying, deceitfulness, and apathy. God, lead me not into temptation. We need to ask God to conquer the forces of evil as He fights the battle for us. And the sixth part of this prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. One of the things we need to realize is that all things are from God. And to God belongs all praise and honor and glory. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. All the means for accomplishing His will are done through His power, His kingdom, His purpose. The rule of God in this world and in our life is the goal of our prayer. Jude writes the ending of his book with this prayer: now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Think Jude may have learned something about this prayer? I want us to make it a very practical part of our life. So this week I was trying to wonder what I should do. I thought about giving you a card and I wanted to help you, but and that just didn't come about. So I'm like, well, Lord, help me to help them. And I came across a couple of scriptures that I thought were important. Psalm 134, 2 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And we've done that. But then I read the scripture in 1 Timothy 2:8 that says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. As I read that, I'm like, Lord, I want to lift my hands to You. I want to surrender to You. And in the Old Testament, it gives us a lot of different descriptions of our hand placement. And there's a place where we receive from the Lord. There's a place where I turn my palms outward and I praise Him for all that He is. There's different methods and all of that. But it says to lift my hands. So I thought I could teach them by lifting our hands. Pastor Cody reminded me this ought to be easy for Michiganders. So I'm going to use the fingers and the thumb and the palm of our hand to help us. This week, church, as I begin to walk through this, this is what I'm asking. The national office from the Assemblies of God headquarters sent out a prayer week, and actually their prayer week was last week. But I wanted to delay a week because I wanted to kind of get through the holiday season and not try to get past all the extra distractions. Maybe to get our place where all the distractions really are beginning and where we're really going to need Him. This week, they laid out a lot of different things to pray for our government and for missionaries and a lot of good stuff to pray for. But this year, folks, I said, you know, I love all those things, and all of those things are important. But church, I want you to learn not how to just pray corporately, but individually. We can pray about corporate things tonight as I begin to set vision. There'll be much to pray about. And we will do some of that corporately. But we only have a few corporate moments together. That's why, church, I need you to take this and I need you to apply it. I need you to take something home today more than the norm of notes and thoughts and I have a nugget for today, or I'll get through a day and a half because of what I heard, or I worshiped and I felt good. And I need more than that. God needs more than that. I'm asking you this week, I want you to pray. I don't know what your prayer life was, but I want to encourage you this morning that God's mercies are new every morning. So He's not holding what you did or didn't do against you in the past. Today is a brand new day in the Lord. It's a brand new year. What a great year to start off and to learn to apply something to our lives daily. But I want to help you. I want to give you that model, the blueprint to go by. Listen, if you want to pray it and recite it as is, it's not a bad place to start. But I want to help you. So this morning, I'm going to use the hand and help us to walk through it. And the first one I'm going to use is our index finger or our pointer finger. And I want to use the pointer, the P, for the word position. And that is going to begin our prayer that says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, let me just for a moment, I'm going to pray this because I started this about a week and a half ago because I thought I need to try it to see if it's even going to work. So as I began to put this into practice, I'll be honest with you, I'm having a hard time getting past 1, 2, or 3. I'll tack 4, 5, and 6 on there. But let me tell you what happens. Number one, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, you are marvelous. You are great. Lord, I want to thank you for making me. Lord, I'm glad that you're my Father. You're the one who formed me in the womb. Lord, it may have been an earthly and a mother and father, but God, it was you who were watching over all my days. It was you who ordained my days. You're my Father, and I thank you for that. I acknowledge your position in heaven. I know that your name is great and greatly to be praised." As you can see, as I went on, I'm like, where do you stop? When you begin to talk about God and who He is and what He's done and what makes Him God, I just get lost in that. One of the things I want to tell you is, as I put all 6 out there, I don't want you to feel like you're on a task to complete all 6. You're on a task to commune with God. And if you just get to number 1, every day, "Oh God, you're my Father, hallowed be thy name. Great is the Lord, my Redeemer, my Savior, my everything, my El Shaddai." What would happen in your life? It's just a model. It's just something the Lord set up as a training for us so we could learn to pray. Number 2 is, as we look to it, says this: "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." It's amazing how the middle finger, of course, stands above everything else. And for the middle finger, for the M, I want to use the word majesty. Thy kingdom. There can only be one king in the kingdom. The Bible says you either serve God or you serve the enemy. He uses another analogy because of finances. I'm telling you, America, we are in a world of fight against, do we serve money or do we serve God? There is one king of the kingdom, and his majesty, it is what the king wants. I'm sorry that you grew up in a democracy. I wonder in our American culture, I love democracy. Don't get me wrong. I think democracy is wonderful. But I'm telling you, when it comes to my majesty, when it comes to King Jesus, it is not a democracy. It is his way, his will, his timing. And folks, I wonder sometimes if we've gotten where we make deals or this with God. And God, if you do that, I'll do this or this. And we've gotten into some democracy with Him. I want you to know He stands above everything. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As I begin to pray, God, I'm telling you, I'm about to pray probably some foolish things that might come out of my mouth. But I know that your answers are greater than my prayers. So God, I'm telling you right now, I'm not all wise, but you are. And you're my majesty, and I'm going to be subject to whatever you want to do. Lord, I want you to use my life in your kingdom. Lord, if you want me to be a court jester today, that's what I'll do. I'll bring laughter and joy to whoever I meet. God, if you want me to serve, I'll serve. God, wherever you put me, Lord, it's your kingdom, your will be done. Number 3. We begin to pray with the ring finger. Give us this day our daily bread. The ring finger, the R standing for request. I love it. God wants us to praise Him, but He wants you to come to Him and He wants you to pour your heart out. He says, why don't you ask of me? And all we got to do is bring our request to Him. God, I don't know what will happen over your mealtime today, but I'm going to ask you, church, that's a great time to pray. It's a great time to bring number three into play. When you say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for providing for us today. Thank you. I don't care where you're at. You might just be amazed when you begin to pray in the presence of sinners. I'll never forget, I went out with a couple of guys. Remember when we went hunting? A couple of years ago now, and we were in that restaurant and we prayed, and that lady came up to us and said, boy, it's been a long time since I heard somebody pray. Folks, you may be the one that becomes the conduit that God uses to wake in other people's lives and minds that there is a God, and because He is my provider, I can come and I can request of Him, and He cares about me. He cares. Number four, the pinky, is my petition. Father, forgive me as I forgive those who have sinned against me. Father, forgive my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Father, forgive my debts as I forgive my debtors. My petition before Him. I don't know about your life. Yeah, I do. I know about your life. You sin. We all do. We all mess up. Our minds go somewhere it shouldn't have. Our words say something we shouldn't have said. Our attitudes project something that it shouldn't have. Oh, Father, forgive me, but don't let me use it in prejudgmental thoughts against others. Let me forgive. Let me have compassion for others. Father, forgive me. That's my petition. And I'll forgive others. Fifthly, the thumb is not a finger, but it's part of the hand. It's amazing how it sticks out all by itself. It's just to remind us of the testings and the trials we go through. The temptation. For lead us not into temptation. The thumb, the T. My youngest girl said, why can't we just call it, how does she say, temptation? Thumbation. Thumbtation, that's what it was. Thumbtation. Lead us not into temptation. Because the temptation will lead you away from God. So as I lift it with the hand, I lift it and say, Lord, and I pray things like this. God, my eyes deceive me so much. Come on, guys. Our eyes are a trap for us. And Lord, would you guard my eyes today? Help me not see things that the enemy would want me to see. But Lord, let me be quick to capture every thought and make it subject to your word. Ladies, I won't go where it is, but you know what it is. Whatever those things that are tempting us and trying us and testing us, he says, oh Lord, we can say, Lord, help me. Lead us not into temptation. And lastly, the palm. I want the palm, the P word, to stand for praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Folks, this lesson that we learn from the Word of God, which gives it credence enough, is encapsulated in an entire sermon that Jesus is teaching. I've told you this before, and I end with this morning. Pastor Matt, would you come? I end with this. At the end of chapter 7 of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives two illustrations. One of the illustrations is about a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. What Jesus teaches about that, he says, in all the teaching I just taught, he says, if you are a hearer of the word, you hear it, but you don't do anything with it, you're like a foolish man. And he built his house on the sand. And all of a sudden the winds began to blow and the storm came and it blew against that house and that house fell with a great crash. You're asking, why do I want prayer to be a part of your life? Because Jesus taught it. And he said, if you hear it and you don't put it into action, your house is going to fall. Remember the bumper sticker that says, the family that prays together stays together? I still believe it's true. Folks, the second illustration is this. He says, but he who hears these words and puts them into action is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Guess what happened? The same thing that happened to the foolish man. The winds came, the storms blew, but the wise man's house stood. Why? Because you put the word into practice. This morning, I need you to point to God and say, God, you're the one I'm after. Lord, your position is great. Lord, your majesty is, your kingship in my life is the most important thing. God, I do have requests today. Lord, I want to come to you and I want to present those. And Lord, my petition, though, is God, forgive me. Lord, wash me. In fact, let me tell you something that came to my mind that I've forgotten as a young boy, and I'm reinstituting it now into my life. But it used to be a prayer that was something like this. Lord, forgive me for everything I did today. Lord, if there's something I did that's sin and I don't know about it, would you reveal it to me? You ever prayed that? I forgot about that part. Oh, I'm like, Lord, forgive me. But Lord, I want you to reveal the stuff because I don't want to walk that way. Because I don't want to fall into temptation. Lord, I want you to lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And lastly, God, I just praise you. My palms give praise. I clap my hands, shouting to the Lord. Listen, you can pray it that fast. You can pray it slow. You can pray one point. Yeah. Folks, it's not about the methodology. It's about the wisdom of hearing His Word and putting it into action. I'd love for you to pray the whole prayer, but I've kind of gotten through point one, two, and I'm working on three right now. And I kind of quickly do four, five, and six. Because by the time I've really done one, it's pretty much taken care of a lot of things. Because it gets my mind reset upon Him. So here's what we're going to do. I know it's 11:45. But could you take 5 minutes? It may be the longest 5 minutes of your entire life, but it may be a beginning of something for your entire life. I don't know if you can use the six things I've given you with the fingers, the thumb, and the palm, or if you would just want to open up your word, but I'm going to ask you for the next 5 minutes, I want us to pray, church. Some of you may need to find a different location. It's okay to stay where you are because it's between you and God. What we're going to do kind of in this place this morning, we're going to kind of shut down and we're going to go to the secret place ourselves. I don't care whether you're 10 years old, 5 years old, or 95 years old. I want us to talk to Him today. So would you do that? I'll try not to interrupt. I'm just going to give us a few minutes. Pastor Matt, we just play softly and lightly. And I'm going to walk through it. That's about 40 seconds on each one. That's it. Can you do it? All right. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for the reason of you won't be distracted. And you won't distract anybody else. Hallelujah.